It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. Miss Monica Lovell over there looking beautiful 2 days in a row, makeup on and all that kind of stuff. Whoop, whoop.
Beautiful.
She is beautiful. She certainly is inside and out.
Yeah.
Our guest today, Miss Karen Johnson. We haven't seen you for a couple of months, I think.
I know. You guys have been busy.
We have been. And then in December, we did take off between Christmas and New Year's. So I didn't have to fill quite as many days that month because I moved some of those last week people, you know, to the middle of the month. So we didn't have to have as many guests or many days to cover, I guess,
yeah.
I should say.
Yeah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net. About halfway through the program, we'll stop and we'll pray for your needs. We do record in two parts, and after the program's over, it goes on our website to therockchristianmusic.com, and you can go there and then click on the Hour of Power and go to Wednesday to hear Karen's message. If you have a friend that doesn't do Facebook, send them there. Or if you're just traveling and want to re-listen, you can go there without having to use your Facebook time. So I think maybe I've covered everything. Oh, our Facebook sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries. No, Joshua's Crossing. It's a good thing Monica keeps me lined out. This is Wednesday. Yeah, already. Halfway through the work week. So, Karen, will you pray to start us out?
Father God, we know that you are holy, holy God. And Lord, keep that in remembrance in our minds that you truly are worthy of our praise, worthy of our time, worthy. And that we love to worship you. We love to spend time with you. And your heart longing is for us to be one with you in an intimacy and time spent. Lord, we just love you so much. And we know that the Holy Spirit fills our heart with overflowing with the love of God, the compassion of God. So, Lord, I just pray for the listeners, Father God, that they would be baptized with fire. They would be baptized in the love of God in such a way that they would have compassion for their fellow man and look for those lost souls, Lord God, that need the resurrection power, need the salvation of Jesus Christ this hour. Lord, they're crying out in the wilderness, and help us find them. Lord, we thank you in Christ Jesus' name for the Hour of Power and Monica and Neva and all the hours they put in. Lord, bless them 100-fold for all their efforts, Father God, in sowing into the kingdom. And we bless you, Father God, and we say thank you. Thank you for your Son and the Holy Spirit. And the power of prayer. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. So your topic today, the awe of God.
Yes, yes. Okay. I was on a retreat a year ago, and I was they were liquidating their bookstore. And this guy came up to me, and he said, oh, if you haven't read James Maloney, you need to buy this book of his, and it's about the Lord in the fires, increasing the awe of God. And he's out of Dallas, interesting enough, and his ministry is the Voice of the Dove Company. But it's so clean, it's so clear, it's so matter of fact, that if you have not experienced the awe of God and you just think he's just Jesus is another idol to put on your shelf, which Beth Moore said most Christians have come to that place. They don't see him as God or holy. They just think he's there on the shelf. And that's unfortunate, but it's probably more true than what we would want to accept.
The elf on the shelf.
Yeah.
The guy. My goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because of the resurrection power, the early apostles and church had resurrection power, the witness, and that's the power of grace. And Paul had a revelation of that, and so did Peter and the rest of them. It was just whether or not you were willing to die. You count all the costs. It's true, you have to die to yourself. Mm-hmm. To really meet the Lord and to really, he'll meet you when you cry out, but to walk with him requires immense humility and not allowing your flesh to rise up. And so I've had some interesting experiences, and I've had three fire experiences and two major dreams in the last year and a half. And so I've been asking the Lord, what in the world is going on? And then when I read the man's book, he talks about the fire of testing, tempered by fire, the fire of your ministry, the fire of the Holy Spirit. He also talks about understanding that if you don't have the resurrection power, then you may not be saved, mm-hmm. because that is the Holy Spirit. And so many of us, he makes a point that most people are afraid of the fire of testing and being tempered. And when you talk about the fire, most people go the other way. So one of the dreams was about, was in July at 3 a.m. And it was, be aglow, be burning with my spirit, shine forth. And to prepare the church for his coming. And it was so profound that, you know, it was an expression of the all of God, that he can make these, and this is happening all over the globe, where God is visiting people with a prophetic call in their life and an intercessor saying, you know, we have got to get after this. And it's true that he is coming again. You know, he truly, truly is coming again for his bride. Now, of course, most people, if you talk to very many people, they just look at you blank, stare at you like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. But that's what, when I finished that seminary degree, that was one of the foremost things that Paul, in some of his epistles, he really taught the people about the second coming of Christ. Because he could see them waning. He could see them, it's been a while. They just almost stop believing that he is and enter into unbelief. And so God has to bring his fire and his all back to his church. He'll do that with signs, wonders, miracles, healings, revival, and outpouring. So he has to show humanity that he is God. In some form, in some way. And I really, you know, am always astounded at if I share my dreams. I had that dream about being aglow and shining with his spirit. And then I had another one about his coming, and it had two pillars in it, two shining pillars, like I was in the tabernacle kind of a thing. And so he really is appearing. There's another dimension, and he's there, and we have to realize that the kingdom of heaven is in our midst, and we don't have to die to experience the glory, the presence, the miracles, the awe of God. And so I find it very interesting that Ezekiel was a prophet for 22 years. This is year of 2022. And then I had a Revelation 22. I went back and read that. And so I thought, well, this might be interesting because Isaiah 22:22 is the key of authority that we are supposed to be using to unlock people's lives and destinies and whatnot. But the Lord in the fires is supposed to bring us to humility, that he is holy. And I think we've lost that, because you can have the word, but not the presence. Mm-hmm. And I've said that over and over again for the last 3 to 5 years, and telling people that the presence is gone. You've lost the presence. You may have the word, but you've lost the presence, and they don't even know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it is. Mm-hmm. And so he's trying to awaken voices around the globe with these visitations he's giving us, and that for us to be a voice and to share and to speak that he is real. And to fear him, but also stand in awe that he can do whatever he wants to do, when he wants to, and how he wants to do it. So, you know, the Israelites got into a box of tradition and stayed there and missed the divine visitation of the living God. And so you want to ask yourself, are we doing the same thing? You know, are we going to miss because we don't understand or comprehend the ways of God? Mm-hmm. We've developed our own ways, our own traditions, and we think God's in it when he may or may not be in it. And so I went back and read John 17. Mike Bickle has been said if the next 3 or 4 years he's going to be camped in John, and the book of John, and really meditate and talk to the Lord and draw it near to him in intimacy about the unity, the oneness. So the other dream was about union and to be united with Christ. And so I sent that out to a couple of intercessors, and you know, the word union was a strong word in the dream. And union is an act or an instance of uniting or joining two or more things together as one. The formation of a single political unit or a uniting in marriage and deep intimacy. So it's very interesting that I think it's a warning that if we aren't intimate with God, sitting at his feet like Mary, united with him, hearing from him, because we don't know what the coming days will present. We don't know whether we'll lose our Bibles or they'll do something with leaders and pastors and that type of thing like they have in other political situations. If you eliminate the voice of hope, then you can control your people. And so anyway, it's union is a key word. Fire is a key word in the dreams. And to restore that intimacy by being seasoned with fire in Matthew 9:49, baptized by fire in Matthew 3:11, or going through fiery trials as in 1 Peter 4:12. So God is really talking to us about the fires. And I don't know about you, but I do understand that being set ablaze, being glowing with his presence, most people don't know how to handle that, mm-hmm. or what to do with it. And it should be a blessing to the body of Christ. It should be something that they embrace. Because he fashions his people into firebrands, and in his hand, he's instigating radical change in everyone around us by increasing the awe of God in who we serve. So I experienced fire, a wall of fire round about me in August of 2020. And I really believe in this one dream about union, I was around a lot of angels. And there were strange things on the walls, and it was like, who gave you access to be here? The men were kind of questioning or scratching their heads. At least they looked like men. But I sat down on a bleacher. There was an arena, and I sat down on a bleacher next to people I knew. And so I thought, well, they look like some intercessors I know. And so they just beckoned me to come sit by them and to just to wait for whatever was going to happen. And so I was asking the Lord, and then I woke up. So I don't know what other than there is a dimension that God operates that we don't necessarily comprehend without the power of the resurrection mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit. So I have been ill for about a month with whatever's in the air, the dryness and stuff, so it's been kind of an interesting challenge for me to even breathe. But I've been asking for God to heal me and remove whatever this is from me. So I like what God is saying about it's time. I've seen it on a couple of prophets have posted, it's time, it's time, it's time. But I think a lot of people are a little afraid of what time that is and how long the preparation is. Uh-huh. So, it was like prepare, you know. So do you individually prepare? Do you corporately prepare? Do you, Lord, show us what you want us to do? But it's probably more like a being, you know, be with him, know him. Mm-hmm. And that's easier said than done for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And
well, Karen, so many people know there's a Jesus. They've heard, but they don't know him like you're talking about.
Yeah.
They don't know what it's like to be intimate with him. They don't know what it's like to trust him with every breath and every day and every minute of every day.
Right.
They just haven't been there. They haven't figured it out.
Well, they don't. Most people don't have the peace. I mean, you can sit, and once you've dealt with a lot of your stuff, you can literally sit and he's there. Mm-hmm. He's calming. He's peaceful. You just feel his presence come over you. And it's like your best friend. He wants to listen to you, to share your heart's desires and concerns and that type of thing. But a lot of people are going around stirring up old revival wells and different stuff. But God hasn't spoken to me about that kind of thing. But I recently went back and read John 17 in the Passion Bible. And it's absolutely beautiful because that's the heart desire. Because it says Jesus finished the Father's work. So why wouldn't we be in awe of that? Because he says eternal life means to know and experience you as the one true God. And to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom you have sent.
Bless you.
Been like that for weeks. So my Father restored me back to glory, and that we share together when we were face to face before the universe was created. And Father, I have manifested who you really are, and I have revealed you to the men in the. I've got humidifiers and everything else in my house, trying to be able to breathe. No, it's all nasal. Then we were yours, and you gave them to me, and you have fastened your word firmly to their hearts. Now at last they know that everything I have is a gift from you, and the very words you gave me to speak, I have passed on to them. They have received your words and carry them in their hearts. They are convinced that I have come from your presence, and they are fully believed that you sent me to present you. So with deep love, I pray for my disciples. I am not asking on behalf of the unbelieving world, but for those who belong to you, those who you have given me. For all who belong to me now belong to you, and all who belong to you now belong to me as well. And my glory is revealed through their surrendered lives.
Mm.
Key word. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it is a cost. And there is a huge price to pay. And to die each day and expect God to, for the fear of the Lord, that He is holy, and He also expects us to walk a holy walk, a righteous walk, is the enemy hates it. Hates it. So anyway, the word union, well, as soon as I, in a dream about union, I immediately thought of John 17. Because it's all about being one with the Father. Watch over them so that they will be united as one, even as we are one. I was with you. You gave them to me. And they. So he goes on to talk about that union and allegiance and being removed from this world and from evil. So, of course, this was before cell phones and television. Mm-hmm. So the battle immediately goes to cutting off the enemy. He talks about the very glory you've given to me, I've given them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. Well, that's the power. That's where the power is, and the enemy knows that. So the warfare has been over the perfect unity that Christ desired and died for. So, you know, are we desiring that same unity in our churches and different things? And if you, the only time I've seen this in operation is if you're not so denominationally bound and that you, like Women's Aglow or Lydia or different ministries that join all streams together to be one, and that Christ is at the center, not the denominational name. You know, when I did hospice work, you know, it was like, well, are you Church of Christ? Are you Baptist? Are you this? Are you that? And God doesn't care what that word, so He doesn't really... When you get ready to meet the Savior on your deathbed, you definitely want to know whether or not you're truly a Christian.
Right.
So that's a word for those people who constantly say that I'll die a Baptist or I'll die this or die that. You know, it's certainly something that God wants us to understand, the power of unity and how the enemy wars so strongly against it. And I've been doing a Bible, kind of a Bible deal with thought life and how your thoughts, and to journal. And so many intercessors and people I know have journaled almost their entire walk with the Lord. And that journaling, it's interesting how the hand and the mind work, because you can see a prompt or a word and you or a scripture and you start writing and all of a sudden all these thoughts come that you probably consciously aren't aware of. But God knows He designed us, so there's something to that for people to be more in. So if you're struggling for unity with the Lord in this, in prayer, that would be one tool to use. It's a key to is journaling. Anyway, I threw that out there for those people who are stuck in their thought life and can't seem to get their mind renewed. So many of us are being tested. And the fire is how He's testing us. Now, have you experienced the fire? Have you experienced any fire lately? So that's what He's after. He's going, if you're truly a disciple, if you truly love the Lord, if you're truly getting prepared for His coming, you're going to experience fire. And the fire will be one to literally either bring you to your knees, test you to see if you're going to stand firm in faith, no matter what. And, so that is a part of how the Lord is working. Now, there's a ministry out of Oklahoma City It's a deliverance ministry, and it's Dr. Everett Cox, and he has videos on his website, and he teaches you how to receive a hug from Jesus. And James, the author of this little book, talks about the church needs a hug from Jesus. They need, a big one. They need they need to know that he's there. And it's a part of the miraculous, the love embraces of the Lord. It'll transform you, just like John met with Jesus, and he wanted to know him so desperately that he just fell on him and just wanted to receive the same love that was pouring out to the Lord. And so I was asking God, how in the world do we come to that place of expressing that kind of love? And it is out of the fire itself, the holy fire. Not only Moses saw the fire, but the children of Israel saw the pillar of fire. And I've seen the wall of fire round about that is a protective device to shield a believer from the onslaught of the enemy. And I've seen the fire come from heaven to encircle the Bible as I was reading it, that God was sending it around the world and the globe, that he is in control of all things. So sometimes we don't think God is there, but he is. And sometimes we don't like how he shows up or how he tests us through a certain personality, but he's there. And I don't know. I've had so many wonderful encounters with the Lord that to experience them, to talk about them, I've even had scriptures illuminated to me or bounce off the pages to show me that God is trying to speak to me about something. So in Revelation 22:18, it says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the word of prophecy, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book." And you wonder what is going on with the world and what God is saying. Are people, because it has been added to and played with so much, the Bible has, that in a seminary class I took, I was just shocked and rocked about how much liberty had been taken, especially by the New American Standard and the NIV. But also there is a war against the spirit of stupor. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting at First Baptist in the sanctuary and literally could feel it coming across the congregation. And it was like they fell asleep almost instantly and went dumb and numb. And so there is something, it brings a blindness, a deafness, a glazing of indifference. And so we have to be on guard with that as well. Have we fallen asleep? God has given them a, so it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that should not see and ears that should not hear to this very day, Romans 11:8. So God did that to the Israelites. Why wouldn't he do it to a church that was apathetic, lukewarm, and not doing anything? Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, it's just one of those things. It happens to humanity. I don't comprehend it totally other than what does it take to keep us on fire? Stirred up, excited about the Lord. Well, it's not an emotion. It's the passion. The passion for Jesus. I mean, are you passionate for what Christ wants to do? Are you too busy to doing what you want to do? Mm-hmm. You know, it's quite a challenge. And I thought about Daniel, and Daniel prayed. We're doing Ezekiel and Daniel, and Ezekiel was hardened by God intentionally because he was going to face hardened hearts of the Israelites who had been hardened by their idolatry. And I thought, ooh. And it was almost like the fire of God tempers you so that you'll still serve God, hold him in awe, and come to him no matter what, and not be moved by the unbelief of those who have been affected by a spirit of stupor. I mean, you've got to go on. And you can't, if they've chosen their path, and if that's where they want to be, then that was a choice. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, God, you know, is that what you've been doing with some of us? You've been really tempering us and hardening us, and we're not moved by some of the strange stuff that's going on. But we're also trying to cut through all the stuff that's being thrown at us and believe and understand that your word will always be true. Mm-hmm. And that union is the safe place. And so I think I was crying out to the Lord, what do you do? How do you survive this present age? How do you survive 2022? I mean, there's a lot of people already fearful of what's going to happen in 2022. And we can't get on that boat. We have to stay course with God, that his will be done in our lives. And that's what Daniel did as captivity to Babylon. He kept his face and his heart in the word and towards Jerusalem and prayed and kept his integrity. He kept his heart for the Lord clean. So who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Those who have a clean hands and a pure heart. And I think God is just saying, hold fast, and I will allow you to experience my fire. Because I don't want to be dead, and I don't want to be, in a stupor. Mm-hmm. And we had someone come after a year of hearing some pretty weak messages. Somebody came and preached just the gospel, just the pure gospel. But he was so on fire with the word, the gospel. I mean, I was in awe of that, because that is where we are. Talk to people about the truth. Mm-hmm. And so I think I was the only one. I mean, the Holy Spirit in me said, glory, like that, in the middle of that sanctuary, because it was so clear and clean and powerful, and it required a response. Uh-huh. And even the minister who was sharing it, he said, whoever said that, thank you very much, because uh-huh. that was an appropriate word to say when you hear the gospel. Uh-huh. The unadulterated, no jokes, no fanfare, no games, no, just the purity of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And it was so clean that you just had to say something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So to me, I would want everyone to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his power and his glory, and the fact that he tells us to buy from him gold refined in the fire.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Is this a good place for us to take a break and do some prayer requests?
Yeah.
Great lesson you're bringing today. We need to wake up and pay attention to what's going on and get in tune.
Yeah.
For sure. We do have several prayer requests. Let me get this changed over, if I can get my mouse in the right spot here.